Mrs. Perryman, Ms. Norick.
Good morning. Joan Norick for the appellant, Ruth Perryman. The district court granted summary judgment against Perryman on Ty's claim of violation of the Federal Trademark Anti-Dilution Act solely on the alleged standalone common law Beanie's trademark, all of the asserted marks, such as Beanie Babies, Teeny Beanie Babies, are irrelevant to this holding. It's relevant to this appeal. The family of marks doctrine, if there were a family.
A little louder, Ms. Norick.
I'm sorry. The family of marks doctrine, if there were a family of marks doctrine.
A family of what? I can't hear you.
Family of marks.
Yeah.
Would not raise the common element in the family to trademark status. Neither does public adoption of a nickname raise the nickname to trademark status for the purposes of the FTDA or for registration.
So let me, what are you arguing? Are you arguing that beanies can't be trademarked because it's generic? Is that your argument? Or
the argument is that beanies was generic at the time I adopted it for use as an element in its Beanie Babies mark and Teeny Beanie Babies mark. If it is generic, it is incapable of trademark acquisition. Second, the Federal Trademark Dilution Act requires a famous mark that the mark have that be a mark and that be famous at the time the accused activities began, which here is.
Let me ask what I think is a version of my colleague's question. It's really trying to figure out concretely what the parties want, because it's not clear I can engage in abstract thought. What is it that your client wants? Is it to use the word beanie in connection with merchandise other than Ty's Beanie Babies, or is it to use the word beanie in connection with a second-hand market in Ty's goods?
Actually, both. She might have priority of wanting to use it.
If you lose the first, will you settle for the second?
No, Your Honor.
No. All right.
One of the reasons is that Bargain Beanies was her trade name, and if Beanies is generic and there is only one trademark at issue here.
Yes, but suppose, I mean, the injunction of course forbids your client to use Beanies in your trade name or your web name, your domain name, but suppose that we permitted you to use the business name Bargain Beanies, but forbade you to refer to these non-Thai products as other beanies. Would that be a significant restriction on your business? That, it seems to me, is what they're really objecting to. They don't want the word beanies used for other of these beanbag toys, because that, you know, erodes their trademark right. But why would it be a harm to your client if you just couldn't say other beanies when you were describing these other toys?
I believe that would not have any great impact. Perryman would not object to that. But I also believe that is not Ty's.
Have you just changed your answer to my question?
I thought I was being consistent. It is the use of her trade name,
no,
Bergen
Beanie,
that
is most... concretely, do you want, if you cannot persuade us to rule that Beanie, the word Beanie, is generic, do you want relief in the form of permission to use the word Beanie in connection with a second-hand market in Ty's goods, even though you cannot use the word Beanie in connection with the products of Ty's competitors?
Between the categorical use of Beanie's versus her trade name. Her trade name is Bargain Beanie's, and she did sell some non-Thai products. And yes, she would, if that's your question, she would, she wants to continue using that trade name for both Thai and non-Thai products.
Well, I think, to be even more concrete than Judge Easterbrook said, one of the pictures in the record of your web page, it says, welcome to our clearance page, and it says Beanie Babies, Teeny Babies, and so on. And then it says other beanies, and under other beanies, there are products like Rothschild Bears and Grateful Dead that are not Thai products. Is that correct?
Correct. That
now,
is.
If you were forbidden to refer to these as other beanies, but call them, you know, other beanbag toys or something, would that would not be a substantial impediment to your business?
Correct.
Because it seems to me that's what they are particularly disturbed about. The notion of sweeping the other toys under the term beanies, which is treating it as generic, and of course that's what they're upset about.
My understanding is that Ty also seeks to preclude...
We're not worried about what Ty wants. Okay. We're worried about what you want. That's why we're asking you what you want.
Perryman wants to regain the right to use her Bargain Beanie's trade name.
Now, maybe neither of us is concrete enough. Assuming that you cannot in any way get any intellectual property rights in the word Beanie, and assuming that it is non-generic, what follows in your view?
Assuming that Beanie's is non-generic?
Yes.
Assuming that Beanie's is non-generic?
Yes. What follows in your view?
What follows in my view are the next hurdles, even if Beanie's is non-generic, Ty must prove trademark rights in the word Beanie's, stand alone, and then that it was famous as of December 1997. And unless Ty makes it over each one of these hurdles, there is no violation of the Federal Trademark Anti-Dilution Act. And that is the only charge involved in this appeal.
Is that it?
A bit further, particularly as to whether Beanie was generic at the time Ty adopted it, including use in registrations for beanbag toys prior to Ty, and therefore totally uninfluenced by Ty's use. To, in this circuit, if a word is generic, it is totally incapable of trademark acquisition, even if the public understands it as a trademark. It would be akin to sanctioning a private toll collectors on a public road. And private toll collectors are not sanctionable, not permitted, even if they themselves made that particular road popular. The popularity of Tide's product is irrelevant because beanies was not used as a trademark on those products. Further, on the issue of whether beanies is an obvious variant of the term beanbag, and that's what the products are, beanbag, the court questioned that I had not cited any case in which the court both abbreviated the word and added a suffix, like is, to the end. And this is true. I have not found any in the Seventh Circuit out of the USPTO. However, before this court, I do present the case from the Eighth Circuit on the word Opry from the trademark, the very famous trademark, the Grand Old Opry. Opry obviously shortened from opera and then a diminutive Y put at the end. The Eighth Circuit held, even though the owner of the Grand Old Opry mark had actually used Opry alone extensively to create separate trademark rights, Opry was incapable, and the court would not recognize any trademark rights in the word Opry alone, and I believe that case is very much on all fours.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Norica. Mr. Young?
Tide most assuredly does object to the use of both other beanies.
I'm concerned with the breadth of your, with the breadth of the injunction, the breadth of your claims. What if you had a used car dealer who specialized in Chevys? So he said bargain Chevys, but he also sells, you know, some vehicles, some bicycles. He doesn't call them Chevys. But he's a Chevy. Do you think General Motors could enjoin his use of the term bargain Chevys to describe his business?
It certainly could under the federal.
I don't agree with you. Do you also think, for example, suppose a dictionary printed beanies as a lowercase word and said this is the word for beanbag toys. Could you enjoin the dictionary?
Probably not, Your Honor. That's
Why?
An open question. Because the dictionary is not using, it is not a commercial use, and the Federal Trademark Dilution Act requires a commercial use. Volkswagen successfully enjoined the use of Bug Shop.
Well, is it not commercial? Because, I mean, you know, it's a for-profit publisher that's producing the dictionary.
Well,
you actually regard that as an open question.
I think it is an open question. Professor McCarthy
is extraordinarily aggressive position on trademarks. In fact, you think that your company can actually sort of retard the evolution of language.
Absolutely
using
not.
Using a dilution law to prevent words from becoming generic.
Absolutely not, Your Honor. This is not a case.
Absolutely yes, because that, of course, would be the effect of enjoining a dictionary which has decided that a term has become generic. You go in there and say, well, you're making it generic by publishing a lowercase like this, so we want to prevent you.
Well, that's an interesting question. It's not a question that's raised here. Professor McCarthy has indicated that it is an open question. It's an area where some people have tried to argue. We're certainly not arguing it here, and it's not
well,
an issue that's...
Well, you're arguing here. It with... I mean, I understand your objection to other beanies in that clearance sale website, but... Given that her business apparently was 80% sale of Thai products, why can't she be permitted to use bargain babies, bargain beanies? It's descriptive of her business, as long as she makes very clear that these other bean bags she sells are not the Thai product and are not beanies.
Because she is using bargain beanies to identify a store.
What's wrong with that? I mean, look, General Motors doesn't own its dealers. If they're dealers, if they're dealers, if you have a Chevrolet dealer, can it call itself a Chevrolet dealer without actually getting a license from General Motors?
It needs a license from General Motors in order to use Chevrolet in its name. And the Fifth Circuit has held
that. I don't believe that because stifling truthful description. You have someone who's selling Chevrolet, but he's not allowed to say that.
No, he is allowed to say
aftermarket product.
He can't use it as a trade.
Both Purolator makes filters that can be used in Ford cars. And it puts on its website, order filter number so-and-so to use as a replacement oil filter in a Ford, order filter number so-and-so to use as a replacement oil filter in a Chevrolet. Any
problem? No problem with it. Certainly entitled to do that.
Well, why? Why, on your view, the word Ford and Chevrolet are surely famous marks?
They certainly are, but that is not used as a trademark. That is not used to identify another business, another product, another service. The analogy here is the VW case in the Fifth
Circuit.
In
what way is a website's URL being used as a trademark?
The name of
Purolator has a website that whose name is replacementoilfiltersforfordautomobiles.com.
The name of her business is Bargain Beanies. Our brief cites a number of cases that are precisely on this point, and in all of them, the trademark rights were confirmed. Ford Financial Service against the trademark Ford Financial, Kenworth Used Trucks.com, Peterbilt Trucks.com. Those were both found to dilute the plaintiffs Peterbilt and Kenworth marks. Now, that's a district court opinion. Obviously, you're not bound. This is a new law, only in existence since 1995, but the great weight of authority has said that these kinds of uses are dilutive. What we have is other uses of a mark blurring the strong mark. It's increasing consumer search costs. It's resulting in consumers unable to...
No, I don't see how Bargain Beanies, putting aside, I mean, suppose she just sold Thai products. How would Bargain Beanie, if she just sold Thai products, how would Bargain Beanies be confusing consumers?
Because
consumers who wanted Thai's product would go to that website and there would be the Thai product.
But she's operating a business under the name Bargain Beanie. She's
so
providing
what?
A service.
So what? How is my question was, how could consumers be confused in such a situation?
Of course, the standard under the Federal Trademark Dilution
Act is not
confusion.
You were the one who said confusion, right? You said confusion. Consumer search costs would be higher. Now, explain to me how, if all she's selling at BargainBeanies.com is Thai baby beanie babies, how can consumers be, how are their search costs increased? Their search costs are lowered because this is another place where they can get beanie babies.
Now there are two different meanings for beanies. There is a business that is called...
No, because she's just selling beanie babies.
But she's operating a business, and if she doesn't deliver the products, then that would be a reflection on Thai.
But that's true with any... Look, you sell through retailers, right? So if your retailers give people lousy service, won't take back their defective beanie babies, you suffer, right? That's life. That's because you're selling through, and as Judge Easterbrook, this is the aftermarket. There's an aftermarket in most products, and the aftermarket seller, yes, can, if he provides bad service and so on, can hurt the manufacturer and manufacturer's goodwill. But we don't ban the aftermarket because of that possibility.
Don't ban the aftermarket, but what the Federal Trademark Dilution Act does ban is the use of my client's trademark to identify someone else's business, to give another meaning to my client's famous
trademark.
It's not
trademark. Another meaning. It's identifying the same thing, these beanbag animals.
She's using it to identify her business, not to identify my client's product.
Well, then I think you're going to really lose your beanies to genericness pretty fast if that's the position you take.
So your position, then, is that no matter how long the name of this business would be, there were 10 words in the title, Posner's Used Teeny Weeny babies not connected with the original manufacturer of teenyweenybabies.com, that would be a violation of your trademark rights.
These are obviously fake intensive questions. I think you'd have to take a look at that and see whether that use is going to blur the distinctiveness of my client's famous trademark.
But of course the injunction would forbid that. So you're conceding that the judgment, that the injunction may well be too broad.
Well, the question presented to the district court was the use of bargain beanies. And
I mean, the injunction is broad enough to forbid the hypothetical domain name that Judge Evans just suggested.
And I think that's not correct. That certainly we hit the Lanham
Act. Is that correct or not correct?
I think that is correct.
Right, okay.
And I think under the state
district. I think you're overreaching again.
Well,
as in your last case we had. Like you're pushing too hard, and it's gonna fall on your face eventually.
I think, Your Honor, this is a classic case under
it's
the federal
not classic
trademark.
Classic at all? I've never seen a case like this.
It's a beanies was a very famous mark by the end of 1997.
It's famous, I will grant you that, but it's not being. But and I also grant you have a legitimate beef with regard to her using the term other beanies to describe a product not made by you, but your objection to the domain name, I don't get.
Well, again, I think the weight of authority, in fact, I'm not aware of a single case. The appellant hasn't cited a single case.
You talk about weight of authority. As you say, it's a new statute. These are district court cases.
And uniformly, courts have held that in domain names where you take a famous trademark and you combine
it. That's a whole different world. You know, that's the world of the anti-cyber squatting act. And so that's not what we're talking about here.
But we are talking about that.
No, we're not. The cyber squatting was something special. These are people who didn't have a product or anything. They went out. They would, in some cases, they would register hundreds of domain names. And then they'd go to, you know, they'd register in the name of famous company, then they go to the company and say, would you like to use this domain name? We'll sell it to you. She's not doing that.
No, she's not doing that. But the cases cited in our brief are cases under the Federal Trademark Dilution Act, and they're cases involving domain names where the defendant had adapted the plaintiff's famous
domain
trademark.
Domain name is just a business name, and we get back to the case. I don't understand your suggestion that if you have a used car dealer and he just sells Chevrolet, that's all he does, and he says, I'll build on Judge Evans' suggestion. He just says, a bargain used Chevrolets, not a GM, you know, agent.
I think he's entitled to do that. The problem
but
is.
But that again comes within the scope of the injunction here.
Well, that's because consumers, I think, have come to recognize a domain name as being a business name, and it certainly was in this case. If you look at the Bug Shop opinion, the
but you're not permitting any disclaimers in the name itself to disambiguate the any misleading impression.
Well, unfortunately, the nature of the internet is such that the disclaimers aren't readily available. As a part of the URL. And again, it's a business name. It's the way by which she invited the public to identify her. And in so doing, she blurred the distinctiveness of the Beanie's trademark.
Well, what would you suggest she uses her name? Because you don't contend her business is illegal.
She can call herself bargainplushtoys.com. She can call herself bargainbeanbags.com. She can call herself bargainbeanplush.com. We're not talking about leaving the public speechless.
So this is a standard case in which the leading firm tries to make sure that its competitors are confined to terms that no one will clearly understand.
That's not the case. Today, if you look at the market is predominantly referring to these kinds of products as beanbag toys or plush toys. That's how it has policed the marketplace, and people are not today calling look-alike or competitive products beanies. It's recognized even more today than in 1997.
That's a different question, as we've been at pains to point out, whether she can call any rival's product beanies is different from the question whether the word beanies can be used effectively to draw somebody to a marketplace where secondhand, genuine beanies can be found.
Certainly she's entitled to do that. The problem here is that she's using it as her business name. She's using it as a trade name. No problem with her saying that she's selling Beanie Babies at a bargain, or that you can come to her website in order to buy...
You wouldn't object to that name if she changed it to BeanieBabiesAtABargain.com?
If that's the name that she was doing business under, yes, because that's adapting...
I thought you just said she could do that.
She can advertise that. She can promote that. But she can't use that as the name of her business, because then she's using it as a service mark. She's using it as a trademark, and she's now giving another meaning to my client's trademark. And that's what the Federal Trademark Dilution Act was enacted to avoid.
The trouble is that a lot of the ways people shop nowadays, they type in a word, you know, onto the web, like beanies, you know. And so you need a domain name that will... be accessible, you know, because, you know, I mean, you are really trying to, I think, stifle the competition of the Beanie Baby, other manufacturers.
But we're what this is about is the freeloading by defendants.
Sure, but you see, success, that's the problem with success. You know, Bayer invents aspirin. Everybody uses it, terribly popular, and next thing you know, it's a generic word. It's a penalty for success.
Well, because Bayer didn't assiduously enforce their trademark right.
And a good way that it didn't, so that that's the problem. Not a large, but a significant amount of our language consists of former trademarks which have become generic, like aspirin and yo-yo and
Kleenex,
you know, zillions of them, and in the olden days, before dilution law, firms might, you know, pester restaurants. I remember with Sanka, how General Foods used to assiduously endeavor to prevent Sanka being used as a synonym for decaffeinated coffee, and I mean, they prevailed there, and eventually, of course, Sanka sank. But the language would be impoverished if trademark owners, armed with dilution law, were able to prevent words from becoming generic.
Well, but as Your Honor has written extensively, consumers would also be disadvantaged if producers weren't protected in their in strong marks, in famous marks. That's one of the reasons that producers will invest
in... You
have
Beanie Babies. You've got Beanie Babies.
Well,
doesn't mean you can hold on to beanies.
Certainly beanies is a famous mark, and it was used by the public to identify our client's mark, our client's product. The widespread publicity...
And increasingly it's going to be used to identify the whole product.
No.
It's so convenient. Your alternative about plush toys and so on doesn't have the same... linguistic convenience.
It's not borne out by the marketplace, because
no,
the marketplace today
beanies,
is using beanies.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Mr. Young. Ms. Norick, how much time does she have? 3 minutes?
It was just mentioned that beanies was used by the public, and again, we have to, the time frame here is December 1997, not today. What Tide did afterwards is that they did irrelevant. Use by the public is sufficient for unfair competition, such as in the Coca-Cola case, that in fact Perryman cited to the district court as an example. Volkswagen, but protectable rights, but as in the case cited by Ty, the TTAB even goes on to explain that if the manufacturer had not itself used it, it would not be able to register it, but it was sufficient to oppose somebody else's registration because there's a harm there. In this instance, Ty had no use of the mark beanies in and of itself prior to December of 1997. Therefore, it is not a mark, and it cannot be a famous mark, no matter how famous the products are. This is not a Prozac case. In the case of Eli Lilly versus Natural Answers, you had a very famous product with a totally arbitrary trademark that was always used on the product. Here we don't have an arbitrary trademark, and we don't have the trademark used on the product that is famous. In fact, as this court said in the Eli Lilly case, it is highly unlikely that any mark would attain the status of famous under the Federal Anti-Dilution Act unless it is completely unrelated logically to the product. And in this case, particularly under the Dilution Act, what is missing under the Dilution Act is the element of public confusion. The claimant can claim rights without proving one person being confused by the use, and therefore the Dilution Act severely narrows the trademarks for which their relief is available to famous marks attaining famous status at the time the accused activities occurred, which here again is December 1997. There is not one bit of evidence in the record that the mark was used. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Carr. Thank you to both counsel.